Turn your Bibles this morning to Book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, ministered among proud, honor-seeking Pharisees. On one occasion in the life of the Lord Jesus, he, along with some Pharisees, were invited to a religious leader's house for a meal. And at that time, Jesus heals a man from the dropsy or edema. He began to notice how the other invited guests also there began to choose places of honor at the table. Then Jesus said to these Pharisees, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, because someone more distinguished than you may have been invited. And then he who invited you will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man.' And then in disgrace, you'll have to take the last place. Instead, when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all the other guests." Then Jesus gives this principle: "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And that principle does not just apply to where to sit at a dinner table, but to all of life. Yes, to eternal life, as well as eternal death. And Jesus' principle here is also no less true for himself. He humbled himself, and he was exalted. In fact, no one humbled himself more than Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that in glory, remember, he is the one whose train of his robe fills the temple. Girded across his chest is a golden sash, his head and his hair like white wool, like snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of many waters. He sits on a lofty and exalted throne, a throne ablaze with flames, its wheels like burning fire, and there is a river of fire flowing, coming out from before him. To him has been given all dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. The angels in glory crying out in Jesus' presence, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." But he didn't cling to any of that, nor regard any of that to be used for his own advantage. And so, the scripture says, he emptied himself into a self-made slave of God and man, So much so, when he came to earth, he didn't have a home in which to lay his head. He was poor. He even went so far as to wash the disciples' feet. The King of Glory washing sinners' dirty, smelly feet. And then our passage says he humbled himself to the point of death. To that state of weakness he did, subjecting himself to the tortures of others, the death of a cross, willingly dying there for you. Death of a cross. The soldiers twisting together a crown of thorns, piercing his head, hitting and spitting on him, and then bowing their knees, mockingly honoring him. Hail, King of the Jews! Spitting on him, slapping him in the face. Christ, the King of the ages, humbling himself to that extent. Why? Why? To take on the wrath of God that was due against your sin. You have sinned against God every day of your life. God's wrath, his anger is real. But he loves you. And he's angry at the same time. And if the penalty that is due against your sin was not paid for, you would have no hope in light of God's justice. God must punish your sin against him. And your conscience tells you that. And the Word of God tells you that. Christ's death, his humiliating death, satisfied the wrath of God. And only those who trust in him are safe from the wrath of God. That's God's design. A simple trusting in him, a turning away from your sin, trusting into Christ, running into his shadow to be safe. You could tell him now that you want to trust in him to be saved. He is the Lord. And praise the Lord, he didn't stay dead when he died. He was laid in that tomb 3 days later to show that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice and to show that justice has been served. God highly exalts him. Philippians 2, let's read it now, verses 9 to 11. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now let's keep in mind, Paul in this passage is not just blessing us with deep theological truth. Like all theology, this is meant to be practical. He says back in verse 5, Paul writes, have this attitude. What attitude? This attitude of humility from the previous verses there. Have this attitude of humility in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humility, remember, is not thinking of yourself at all. And it results in a sacrificial service to others. We see that in Christ when he came. The King of the ages becomes a self-made slave to God and man to the point of the death of a cross. That's humility. Christ's humility is an example for all of us. And so Paul uses Christ's example to humble us. When you realize what Christ gave up and to what extent he humbled himself, Christ is the most humble. He is the humble of all, the best example. And we also know Christ's death, again, was not the end. God exalted him. And the implication throughout the passage is that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Have that attitude. The attitude of humility. God exalted him, didn't he? Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is the exaltation of Christ. Christ humbled himself to depths unknown and now exalted to heights beyond. His exaltation occurs in three stages, simply past, present, and future. Christ's past exaltation is expressed there in verse 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. It's all in the past tense there. From the depths of humiliation, soldiers mocking, disciples fleeing, Father turning his face away. Now, exaltation. Justice demanded that Christ be raised from the dead. Justice demanded it. For the wages of sin is death, but the sinless one has died. Therefore, God's justice demands that Christ be raised from the dead. And indeed, he is risen. In the New Testament, we have multiple individuals, small groups, large groups, experiencing appearances of Jesus after his death. Multiple independent witnesses regarding these experiences. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that first day, we could go with a group of several women who observe the empty tomb and see a brilliant angel and run with some women to tell the disciples. And on the way, see the risen Lord and bow with them and take hold of his feet and worship him. And tell Peter and John, we've seen the Lord. Peter and John sprint to the tomb and discover it empty. Or while those run off, linger with Mary at the tomb, weeping and afraid. Peer in the tomb and see the two angels questioning, why do you weep? Then the mysterious man appears, looking like the gardener, but then calls out, Mary. Or walk with the two disciples on their way to Emmaus and listen to the mysterious man break open the scriptures about how the Christ must die and rise again. And watch a little later, as Jesus breaks the bread, and as the bread opens, all eyes are opened as to who the man is, and Jesus vanishes. Or behind closed doors, Jesus again appears and shows his hands and his feet. But do you still doubt? Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. The doors having been shut again with Thomas there, Jesus comes and stands. Peace be with you. bow and say, my Lord and my God. But the resurrection isn't the end either. 40 days later, Jesus, having given the promise of the Holy Spirit, telling them to remain in Jerusalem until that time, and as he was giving them a blessing, he begins to ascend up into the sky as a cloud received him out of their sight. As he was raised in body, he ascends in body. Jesus passed through the sky, far above all space and time, and into heaven itself, into glory at the right hand of the Majesty on high, seated far above all authority and rule, and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And the Father has put all things in subjection under his feet, and has given him to be head over all things now to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. From unimaginable depths of pain and separation from the Father to resurrection to a glorious return back to heaven. He left all the poverty. He left the physical pain, the emotional distress of rejection from us rebellious sinners that he came to save. All of the hatred, he left it all behind, and now it has all been replaced once again by the praise of the angels. In our sight, he re-enters into glory, and there he is, crowned Lord of all, seated at the right hand of God. And you can hear the myriads and myriads and thousands upon thousands of heavenly creatures saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing." And at this point, the Father has glorified the Son, Jesus, with himself, with the glory which he had before the world was. And what is the reason for all of that? What's the reason for all of that exaltation? For this reason also, God highly exalted him. For what reason? God highly exalted Jesus because Jesus greatly humbled himself. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, for that very reason. God highly exalted him. Because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's a grand union between humility, the shame and the torture and rejection on the one hand, and glory at the Father's right hand on the other. There is a wonderful connection between the pain of the cross and the pleasures of glory, between the slanders from the soldiers and the songs of the seraphs. One gives way to the other. The seed of humility gives rise to the glorious flower of exaltation. At that time when God exalted Jesus, God bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And everybody wants to know, what is the name that's above every name? That time when God highly exalted Jesus, that's what happened. So what is the name? The name. The name for these ancient peoples, the concept of a name, does not refer to the letters we attach to somebody's person. Like what we do, like that's Bob or there's Mary. No, name in the Bible refers most often to a person's character or office or position. So the character, position, or office of Jesus is above that of everyone else. It is His name, His person and office at which every knee will bow and tongue confess. And we may technically not know the name, because it says in Revelation 19, verse 12, that He has a name written on Him which no one knows except Himself. But the position or character that best characterizes this in this passage is the office in verse 11, Lord. God bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. He is the Lord of all. He is God. He is master, ruler of the universe and of everyone's life. That is the reality that we live in. It's the reality your neighbors live in. And if you would but confess it too, of a truth, you would be saved. For it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God's raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, saved from your sin. Jesus' lordship is something to confess, to agree with, to submit to. You don't make a judgment call as to your opinion. Nor can you make Him Lord. He is the Lord. The matter is, will you confess Him to be such or not? Will you submit to Him to be the Lord or not? If you do submit, and you do humble yourself underneath His mighty hand, confess Him to be the Lord of all, you too will be exalted one day. One day, all of Christ's humble followers will be raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. Christ's followers will be raised from the dead. You will literally follow Christ in His resurrection, His ascension, and exaltation. Jesus says in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that has given me, that all He has given me, I lose nothing. And here it is, but will raise Him up on the last day. Jesus will raise up His followers on the last day. And as the Lord ascended into the clouds, you too, if you have humbled yourself, will ascend into the clouds. It says, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And just as the Lord was exalted to His Father's throne, all who trust Christ and humble themselves underneath His lordship will also be exalted. Is this too much for you today? Will also be exalted to the Father's throne. For it says in Revelation 3:21, He who overcomes, I will... Jesus says this, He who overcomes, this is a believer, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, Paul writes, we will also reign with him. Revelation 2:26 and 27, Jesus says, he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. In Revelation 20, verse 4, those who endure will come to life and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So why not humble yourself? If you exalt yourself here, you give evidence you don't know nor believe God's promises. Why exalt myself here in this puny little place? When on that day Jesus has promised me he will exalt me if I humble myself here. But when Jesus was exalted, he didn't just receive back the same glory that he had with his Father before the world was. He had glory before the world was. But now he is, Philippians 2 says, highly exalted. Not just exalted, but highly exalted. And that is because at the incarnation, Jesus humbly took on a full human nature. And now, for almost 2,000 years, Jesus has been highly exalted, having taken on that full human nature. And during this time, because he is human, he can sympathize. Hebrews says he can sympathize with our weaknesses, for he himself is human. And he has been expressing that sympathy in part by interceding for us. In other words, Jesus talks to the Father about us. Not just talks about us, but he pleads with the Father for our relationship with him. Jesus is your advocate for the Father, before the Father. He is our mediator, our go-between for us and the Father. For 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus, in glorified humanity, acts as our mediator, and his mediation plays an active role in our salvation. Hebrews 7:25 says he is able to also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. God has highly exalted him, and with even more glory than he had before the incarnation. And as wonderful as the past and the present exaltation is, the future, all the more glorious. What will happen in the future is that Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This will happen in the future. And Paul is pondering here what was written in Isaiah 45. You could see that in your own New American Standard Bible, where you have some capitalized words there. Every knee will bow, in all caps. You can make a note there of Isaiah 45, and then keep a hand here, and you can turn back to Isaiah 45. And in that passage, the Lord says three times in Isaiah 45, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, I am Yahweh, is the idea. I am the Lord, and there is no other. And he says, I am God, and there is no other. In Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23, he says, turn to me. The Lord says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me, he says, to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. Don't make any mistake about it, what Paul is doing. Jesus is the Lord. He is Yahweh, the God of Israel, God of the church. Isaiah 45, at the name of Jehovah, at the name of Yahweh, every knee will bow. Philippians 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And those who deny that Jesus is the Lord, as the Jehovah's Witnesses do today, how could you have an answer for that? Jesus is the Lord. It's clear, he is God. Now, back to Philippians 2. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it does not matter the location of those knees or of those tongues, whether they're in heaven or on earth or even under the earth, they're all going to confess. Some will bow the knee to the King of Ages with joy because they were prepared for his coming. Others will bow after they will look upon him whom they have pierced and will weep and will wail over him with shame. The demons, Satan, all of creation will give this testimony in that day. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every rebellious sinner, idolater, bow the knee. Everyone who loves and makes lies, though your part will be outside the great city in that day, bow the knee. Every adulterer, every thief, drunkard and covetous person, bow the knee. Voltaire, a French infidel who died in 1778, said that by 1878, Christianity would be swept from existence. 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society used his printing press in his own house in order to produce the very book, the Bible, that he tried to eliminate. Voltaire, bow the knee. Adolf Hitler, World War II, constructed a structure in Monte Carlo, France, that was to be a radio station to broadcast Nazi propaganda in North Africa. Today, from that very building, the Trans World Radio beams the gospel of Christ's redeeming love all across Europe, Russia, and into Africa. Adolf Hitler, bow the knee. Either bow today joyfully or bow when Christ returns mournfully. But either way, you will bow the knee. And there will be those who can say with their mouth, Lord Jesus, and think that they are Christians, but in their life they deny him. We're not to be deceived about this. Jesus says you will know them by their fruits. Their life's message will testify where their allegiance is. They happily get drunk every Saturday night and then get religion on Sunday. They live in an immoral relationship through the week and think that if they go to church, everything's going to be fine. I'm just a bad Christian. It's okay. No, it's not okay. You've not bowed the knee. You've not confessed with your life that Jesus is Lord. You will confess that he is, and it will be to the glory of God the Father. All creation will bow the knee when Christ returns. When will it be? When he returns. And in Revelation 19, John sees heaven opened. and a white horse. And he who sat on that horse called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, which are those whom Jesus has cleansed from their sin. John sees the followers of Jesus following Jesus, naturally, on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At that time, for those who confess that Jesus is Lord with lips and life, Jesus will sit down upon his throne, and he will give to us to sit upon his throne. And he'll have a crown. And he will give to us as well to have crowns. So be happy today to live unseen, to live unknown, unheard, as but for a little while. Do you feel yourself to be but a worm as you sojourn here? In pain or in poverty, trial or struggle, in that day, if you've humbled yourself, you will be exalted. He has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's really lift this up. I want to sing together number 38. And you can't sing this one sitting down. You can't sing it without a sense of this majesty in your heart. And this is a wonderful hymn. It's got a wonderful chorus. And we really need to raise it up. So let's really try to get the flavor of this. Think about that day when all of creation is going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and crown him Lord of all. You looking forward to that day? You excited about that? That is going to be an awesome day. Let's really sing that out now together. Stand together and sing number 38.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Crown him, crown him, crown him, and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, and crown him Lord of all. Each of him, ye martyrs of from his altar call, who from his altar call, extol the stem of Jesse's rod and crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial ball, on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, and crown him Lord of all.
Father, we crown your Son, the Lord Jesus, Lord of all, in our heart of hearts. We bow the knee to the King of all the ages. And we submit. We relinquish all of who we are and humble ourselves. We desire to do that. Our Father, we pray, forgive us of our pride. Cleanse us of our selfishness. Forgive us of thinking of our exaltation in this world. Oh, Father, we ask, send your Son. We pray, send him. How we look forward to that day when all of creation will crown him Lord of all. And there will not be a one who does not. Father, we ask now that our lives today and every day would give testimony to this great truth. We pray that everything in us and everything in our lives would give testimony that Jesus is the Lord of all. Every word spoken, every action done, may it be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this for his own glory and for your glory. Amen. Thank you. We can get set up for the potluck.